It's Thursday, May 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous run tech podcast. This is show number 855, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our April GoDaddy special, get 32% off, our May GoDaddy special, get 32% off at GoDaddy using promo code GO32OFF1 or get a .com for $2.49. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots to share. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, nay, via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. I want to give a warm welcome to all the Ohana and listeners from around the world. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. And of course, we want to encourage you to take time and take a few minutes and get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you get over there, check all our great content out. We got a lot of great writers on the website putting up daily content. So definitely check them out. And of course, get subscribed to the show as well. That way you'll never miss a single episode. It's real easy to do. It's right there on the website, iTunes, RSS feed, whatever you need to do to get subscribed, please do. Sign up for our newsletter. Newsletter contains everything that we're going to cover today and during the show that goes out immediately after the show. I don't spam you with a bunch of BS either. So the newsletter is really kind of a 2-a-week type of deal. So definitely get subscribed to it. Of course, if you want to reach me directly, it's real easy to do so via Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Our hotline remains open at 619-342-7365. If you want to watch the show, you can watch the show post-show if you're not watching live via the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. We're on the Tech Podcast channel there. Definitely check us out under the Tech and News section of that Tech Podcast channel. So, of course, this show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network and lots of great shows over there. And matter of fact, tonight, part of the show is being done in conjunction with, we're starting up basically our TPN Weekly again, where we introduce ourselves to the techpodcast.com audience. So if you're listening at this point, you're hearing the portion of the show that I put up on the Tech Podcast Weekly feed. And I want to encourage you again, if you're checking it out over there, to come over. This, just so you know, and of course the regular listeners know this, this show's in about an hour 15, usually every time I produce it, which is every Monday and Thursday night. It's available to be downloaded via iTunes and other places Tuesdays and Fridays. I cover all the most recent tech. I definitely talk about what is going on here as well. So it's a little bit of a different tech show. It's going to be more personal. And really my goal is that when I'm doing this show, is it's more of a, so that you feel it's more of a face-to-face conversation, like you're sitting across from the coffee table, basically hanging out with me and we're just talking tech. Now, while that, obviously, I don't get the feedback directly from you, you can pick up that keyboard and send me an email or tablet or pick up the phone and call me and give me your feedback about the show, the content, the things that's going on. And that's really where the interaction happens. So we want you to interact with the show, be part of the family here. And again, if you're checking us out on TPN Weekly, welcome to the show. But let me move on down the line here and give the rest of the audience that's here every week with me twice a week a little more details. We're up on live stream tonight. And those of you there on the live stream, thanks for being here. And definitely appreciate that. I want to thank the folks over at GoDaddy for being sponsored. We've got a new deal this month with GoDaddy. They put together a new special for us. And really, I kind of emailed my rep. I said, dude, this is not much different. He says, yeah, it's not. So what we're getting is you're getting 32% off, not 35% off. So you're going to get 32% off your order. Again, a new order over at GoDaddy.com. And you're going to basically be able to save some good money over there. That 35% deal is gone, 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 gone. So 32%, 3% less for delaying. But, you know, check all the stuff out there. GoDaddy website builder, all their different products, .coms and so forth. Now we got, you know, they lowered the price on the .coms. How low can they go? $2.49. And wow, what a deal. You're going to find the link to all my GoDaddy promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That 249.com is geek249. And, you know, at that price, let's just be straight up. You can buy a 249.com for your wife. She can put up a website. And, you know, they got additional deals to go along with that. You can buy one for your son. You know, of course, order them separately, set their own accounts up. You know, that's a great deal for .com, $2.49. Of course, all of our codes will save you a lot of money, no matter where you what you buy over there. And I've got a whole stack of them. Again, you can find all those codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here and hope that you'll back the sponsor as well with your cash purchases. And we're at GoDaddy.com. Helps the show, keeps us moving forward, and keeps the lights on. So let me go ahead and move on here and talk a little bit about what's coming up this weekend. This next weekend on the New Media Show, we'll have a guest, of course, Rob Greenlee, my co-host. Rob has scheduled Paul Colligan to come online, and this should be an interesting guest. I've known Paul, boy, oh boy, since the very first New Media Expo. That happened in 2005, and Paul is, he's always trying stuff new in the media side, and he's worked big in affiliate marketing. He's done lots of, you know, one-off type deals. He's webinars. So Paul definitely comes from a different perspective, and, you know, he was a big, did a lot of podcasts early in the day. I don't think he does so much now, but the goal of that show is being bringing a lot of variety. And those of you that are media creators, or maybe you're just thinking about becoming a media creator, Paul brings an interesting perspective. Always like talking to Paul. He's very frank, very straightforward, and should prove to be a great conversation with Rob and I. So 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern is the time that we kick off that show. So we hope to see you there. Ingress, still playing, having a great time. It's been kind of weird. I'm become the arch nemesis here in Hawaii. I don't know. Every game there has to be one person they pick on, or not pick on, but, you know, becomes a target, or, you know, and I'm not saying I didn't have nothing to do with stirring the pot, but it's pretty fun, and always looking for more local kind, local players. So if you're in Hawaii, listen to the show, and you want to play Ingress, you want to play on the Resistance, let me know. I'll get you an invite. Added three people to the game. They're friends of mine here recently, so we're going to get them going and moving on. Yes, I'm having a lot of fun with this, and if you can see, I'm getting a lot of nice sun being out and about, which is good. Hey, I want to talk just about, like, I got a Facebook message yesterday. And, okay, here we are. We're at show number 855, right? This is my gig. You know, this is what I do. I create tech content. You know, I put stuff out. We have sponsors for the show. Obviously, I do some other things on the side with some consulting as well. But, you know, the majority of my family's revenue comes from our sponsors and our insiders. And, you know, I live here in Hawaii. The only residual income that I had from my time in the military was my military retirement. And, you know, it's not like it's a big extraordinary amount of money. I've been retired 5 years now, and I obviously retired as a senior chief, didn't retire, which is an E8, didn't retire as a as an officer, high-ranking officer. So my pension that I get for those 24 years of service is okay. Doesn't even make my house payment. That gives you an idea. And so can't complain. I'm not at all bitching. Don't get me wrong. But this guy has got this hard-on for me on this show. And he's like, you just give it up, Todd. You need to quit. Quit playing with that hobby. You know, I'm like, you know, he says, oh, I've heard from people that you're not doing well. I'm like, from who? I have never, ever, ever announced on this show what revenue, nor will I ever announce what type of revenue I make on this podcast. Frankly, it's no one's business. And we work with a lot of podcasters at Raw Voice, and what we pay them and what they make is completely private. What they, you know, we give generalities on ranges, and believe me, it's full range from very small amounts of money to very large checks. And, but I never will say X show made X amount of dollars. We won't do that. You guys know that the stated goals on this show has been to grow it, grow the support, have people here that would help it. Obviously, we haven't added that so that you know from a listening standpoint and a viewing standpoint that the revenues haven't grown extraordinary. But hey, we're still living the dream here in Hawaii and just getting by to a certain extent. And it is what it is, right? And it continues to be fun. I love doing the show. I always said from the very beginning, it's not about the money. Believe me, the money helps. It helps pay the bills because we do have reoccurring hosting, you know, bandwidth, all the other stuff that just goes along with a show. There's a certain amount each month that I know is we got to make this much and this much above. And we watch it from month to month on a finance standpoint. Some months we have three sponsors. That really helps the show out a lot. If we don't have three, we're okay. We get down to one, it gets a little tighter. We have to tighten our belts just like anyone else does with their own small business. And this is what this is. This is a business for me, even though we do this show for you, or I do this show for you. So that individual, you know, it just rubbed me wrong because he quote unquote knows what I'm doing. He has no clue. Absolutely no clue. The only person that knows how much is in that comes from that I get for a check is my wife and my accountant and my bank. That's the only people that know. You know, we're not driving Cadillacs here. We're not driving Mercedes Benz. You know, so it's not like we're living high on the hog. You know, we're average American family that is a you know, that is working, you know, to make ends meet. So for that naysayer, and I don't even know, it just bent me a little bit. And I wanted to talk about it. I share things with you guys all the time. And, you know, I could almost get, how should we say it, non-child safe here for a minute. I think I did a little earlier. I apologize. But, you know, that person, if you're listening, if you want to be a hater, go ahead, be a hater. But we got better things to do. I'm going to move on. And I'm happy to do this show. And you guys know that I always said when it become not fun, I would tell you and we would change it or we would do something different. But, it's still fun. My wife still supports it. The kids still support it. You know, we're looking at possibly making a move, try to get closer to town. To get closer to town, we have to downsize a little bit. We'll make maybe some changes. But, you know, that is just, you know, that's life. We'll continue to move on. But the show will continue to move forward until such time that I feel that it's not worth doing. And it's not at that point. I don't want to go back and, you know, be a slave, really. So, you know, at this point, I'm not a slave to anybody. I'm a slave to this show for you guys, and that's what it's all about. So anyway, I'm not giving up. It's not going to happen. But anyway, let's get into the tech. Let's take care of the last piece of business here so that we can pay our bills. And you guys know very well that I'm a big fan of Citrix GoToMeeting. And let me just talk about them for a second. You know, they've been here as a sponsor pretty much straight through since mid-2005. And, you know, why do they continue to sponsor the show and why do they continue to be here these many years later? It's because you guys keep doing the trials. You keep testing or even buying a product. But new listeners are coming in and they want to find out what this product's all about. And we had a fan of our PowerPress plugin basically say, I need this new feature. And it's something that really wasn't even on our radar. And I said, it's, you know, if we get to it, maybe next year, because it's something that we wouldn't normally do. It's not a feature that would be used a lot. And so I got Angelo on a GoToMeeting session. And I said, okay, what's this going to take? And, you know, basically we did a proposal. We figured out the hours and did everything we needed right in a GoToMeeting session. So when your team can get together and you're face-to-face, you know, that's really the best, you know. But decisions sometimes have to be made in moments, not days. And that's where we use the GoToMeeting session to be able to bring the folks from different locations together, so that we wouldn't have to have this 25 chain email that we went through. And, you know, it really got us to the point where we could say within about 30 minutes, I was able to send a proposal back to the guy and say, okay, here, if you pay this much, we'll take care of the rest. You know, it's going to cost this much. We're going to make you pay that much. And then, you know, because we're going to get some benefit from this new feature too, we'll pay the majority of the development work. But in order for me to take Angelo off task, here's what it's going to cost. And boom, within about 24 hours, they came back and said, okay, let's go. And for the last 2 days, Angelo's been coding up this new feature for PowerPress. So with GoToMeeting, you share the same screen, you stay on the same page, and to build an HD video conferencing makes your online meetings just like being in the same room. Plus, it's simple to launch a meeting really from anywhere using your computer, smartphone, or tablet. You can even present with your iPad. I love GoToMeeting. So I want you to try GoToMeeting as well, free for 30 days. And let me ring up the little the lower third here. Oops, pressed the wrong button. And here is the deal. Meeting is believing. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button. Use the promo code podcast. Again, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button and use the promo code podcast. Remember that promo code podcast. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here. And thank you guys for supporting them as well. It's my pleasure to have them on as a sponsor here. All right, let's go ahead and get into the tech. That's what you guys want to hear. That's what you're here for. And did I press that button? No, I did not. For those of you that are listening to the TPN Weekly, we are going to leave you at this point. And if you want to hear really what this show is all about the detailed tech news that I cover, you need to come over to geeknewscentral.com and get subscribed to the show. But those of you that are listening to this for the first time about the TPN Weekly, we want you to give us a try. And thank you for listening for this short intro to Geek News Central. All right, we are now, let me look at the time hack here so I know where to go on that editing. As a matter of fact, let me do this. And put a little marker there. Sorry for clapping in your ear, but that's the easiest way to see it on the audio programming. Let me go ahead and load Chrome. Oh, man. Today is a mother load of good stuff. Hey, you want an Apple one? Well, there's one going to go on the auction block this month. A rare working Apple one is available. Now, you better get your checkbook out, because they feel this thing could fetch as much as $392,000. This is a 37-year-old machine, thought to be of one of only six in working condition. It's expected to sell between $261,000 and $392,000. And the German auctioneer Brecker is going to be doing the sale. Now, here's the thing that I'm really wondering about. You know, there's a lot of Apple fanboys out there, and they are hardcore when it comes to that entire product line. And I wouldn't be surprised if the thing goes for more money. But they are going to make it available so that you can actually upload stuff to it and save it. So a cassette storage option can be purchased for $72 with this. So it's kind of funny. But anyway, we'll see. You know, there was only 200 Apple ones initially produced. And Sotheby's estimates that only 50 still exist. Would you have loved to have been the guy that would have had one of these in the closet and thought enough forward to keep it stashed all these years? I've got a Trash 80, TRS 80 Model 1. I wonder if that's worth anything. It's in a box, and box is. So, but anyway, that I don't even know what year that came out, but I got it at a garage sale. I got it secondhand. Okay, for anyone who has ever forgotten a password on Facebook, Facebook has a way to help you now. And I this is a little weird. It's Trusted Contacts. So what you're going to do is you're going to figure, okay, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your wife, that's five people. You basically have to designate five individuals as trusted contacts, trusted agents. And the idea behind this is giving a trusted friend, neighbor, a copy of your house key or a key copy of your password. So what's really going to happen here is that the Facebook feature, basically, when you say, I forgot my password, I can't remember my, you know, all this stuff that they do to try to reset you, they're going to send out five codes. And then you are going to have to get three of those codes back from your friends. And then three of the five is what's going to take to unlock your account. Not just one code will unlock. You have to get three. So that's an interesting move here. So you have to keep that up to date as well. But I guess they've had a number of people that have lost their accounts over the years. So if you want to set this up, this is going to be available in Facebook here directly. All right, there's a second anti-patent troll bill coming to Congress. And I guess the first one wasn't enough. And really, growth of patent trolls is, you know, really a big issue. We talk about them every week here. But today, Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, announced that he'll be introducing the second bill this year meaning to combat patent trolls. The first was the SHIELD Act, brought back in a new form this year by Representative Peter DeFazio, Democrat of Oregon, and Jason Chaffetz, Republican of Utah. And of course, we know the SHIELD Act would create a kind of loser pays system that only applies to trolls which don't use their patents for things other than basically suing folks. So Schumer's bill also seeks to dramatically lower the cost of patent litigation. Now, patent litigation can cost as $2 million to $5 million, and Schumer's bill basically is trying to reduce that. And giving some constricted time on when companies can sue for patent infringement and so forth. So we'll see what happens here. I don't know if these are going to be essentially put into one, but basically Schumer's saying that patent trolls are bullying New York technology companies, stymieing innovation and dragging down the growth. He says it's time we address this growing problem. This legislation will provide small technology startups with the opportunity to efficiently address these claims outside the legal system, saving billions of dollars in litigation fees. The Patent and Trademark Office is already reviewing 20 patent cases in a temporary patent review program, and I'm confident that extending this program will benefit to New York and the nation's economy. So we'll see. It all depends how much language gets put in this thing. But time will tell where this goes, and we'll see if the House will pick it up as well. That's probably the big bottleneck. Now, you know, imagine you're sitting on an airplane and you're getting ready to head home to China, and the FBI boards the plane and yanks you off the aircraft, and you happen to be an ex-NASA employee with a NASA computer in your possession. Well, this guy was, quote-unquote, being suspected of being a spy. Republican Congressman Frank Wolf of Virginia had claimed that this individual and other Chinese engineers employed by NASA contractors were a security risk. And so basically, they basically went in and detained him. But it came quickly apparent that the individual's worst guilt was violating some NASA policies. There was no evidence of any sensitive material on the laptop, and this individual had not had a security clearance to projects at Langley as an employee of the National Institute of Aerospace. Instead, investigators found the laptop was loaded with, you guess what? Yes, porn and pirated movies. So I guess he, since he lost his job, he was looking for some entertainment when he was going home. Apparently the Republican Congressman Frank Wolf initially put up the press release of this guy's arrest and very quickly took that down. But the individual pled guilty to a misdemeanor for violating agency computer security rules. A charge of lying to the FBI about the laptop has been resolved. And I guess he's back in China. It does make you go, we got Chinese nationals working on stuff that may be security issues. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? All right, let's talk about Bitcoin. But, I still remain skeptical about Bitcoin. And actually, I was reading an email from an individual here in Hawaii who was setting up a Bitcoin mining computer. And I said, I heard reading that it takes more power. You're going to use more power than the amount of money you're going to get out of the Bitcoin thing. And he didn't reply. So I'm wondering if people are putting these Bitcoining mining machines at their, and I'm not saying this guy is, but if people are setting up these Bitcoin mining machines, I wonder if they're taking them to their employer and plugging them in and letting them run and let someone else pay for the electricity. But anyway, he's experimenting with it. Again, nothing, I'm not suggesting anything with this guy. He's on the straight up, but, I'm curious to see how he does. And he's actually said he's going to keep us informed of how he does, but top Bitcoin exchange hit with a $75 million suit over failed partnership. There was a major deal between MT Gox, a Japanese firm that runs the world's largest Bitcoin exchange, and the American startup CoinLab. And apparently, CoinLab was supposed to take over American operations, but that partnership has collapsed and a lawsuit has been filed. CoinLab has sued Mt. Gox on Thursday, charging that the Japanese firm failed to live up to its side of the contract. And that two firms signed in November. On the terms of the contract, Mt. Gox was supposedly to hand off its North American operations to CoinLab in March. So we'll see where this goes and see if they get any, see if they can, are you going to settle this in bitcoins or are you going to get real cash? Good article over in CNET, Americans getting tired of texting. We talked a little bit about this on the last show, but I want to go a little bit deeper into what has been derived. 2008, billions of messages were at about, TextMessUS is on the decline, according to a survey released Thursday by CTIA. The number of SMS text messages sent and received dropped dramatically from 2.3 trillion in 2011 to 2.19 trillion in 2012. So it shows the deltas steady and climbed to 2008 and just a slight dip now in 2012. So we'll see where this leads, but, I know my wife is not texting very much. We talked about that earlier. She's chatting. One thing I noticed today, and I have to make a comment about Google Glasses or Google Glass. You guys know that I'm slated to get Google Glass, and every time I see someone wearing Google Glass, I'm kind of like, that person really looks dorky. And I'm thinking to myself, this has been in the back of my mind, how do you look cool wearing these things? All right. I'm already a handsome fella, right? And, at least I hope my wife thinks so. Maybe the rest of the world doesn't, but beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right? So, so I'm thinking to myself, how do you wear Google Glass like a pro? How do you look good wearing these things? And someone in Hawaii had seen some of the stunts, some of the stunts that Oh yeah, Spitballs. Yeah. Just to let you guys know that I didn't get the embed copied over. Hang on, let me make something here. All right. So anyway, how do you wear these to look cool? And someone here in Hawaii commented on what Robert Scoble in the shower with Google Glass, and you know, I'm thinking to myself, people are gonna get like, I saw that, I wanted to puke. You know, I don't want to see some grown man in a shower with Google glasses on. It's you know, I don't care if it was a stunt. You know, first thing, you know, that's the image people are going to have in their mind when they see someone wearing Google Glass. And so, you know, I'm going to shell out $1,500 for these things. And I want to, you know, be able to sport these things and look cool. So a guy here in Hawaii saying the same thing. Hey, we think it's going to turn these Google glasses off as if they don't look cool. So we got to figure out how to make them look cool. And so we're going to see if we can hook up with someone and see if we can do something styling with these things. Or I don't know. Time will tell how this is going to work out. So anyway, time will tell. But one person says, pop in the shades. And you'll look better. And I think that's true, too, because it's just kind of awkward, you know. I think people get used to them. But this one gal actually put up some tips on how to make them look not so weirdy when you're actually, you know, meeting people. And I'm really wondering how it's going to work out with those of us that, you know, wear spectacles as well. Because I'm a little bit concerned from that perspective as well, but I'm sure Google's got a plan. All right, a new detector has a clever way of detecting dark matter over at Ars Technica. Apparently, what they're doing is that they are basically, this new matter detector that went online today has a rather clever method of searching for signs of rare interactions between dark and regular matter. The tool uses a liquid that's kept poised on the edge of boiling, such that even the tiniest bit of additional energy, say caused by the impact of dark matter, will cause a bubble of vapor in the detector. Now, how do they do that? I'd really like to know how you keep the temperature of something right at like this absolute perfect level. I is that possible? Because, you know, when you had something's on the stove, it's either too hot or too cold, and you're always making adjustments. You know, because there's fluctuations in energy and power. I'd really like to see how they do this. But anyway, this just went online today. And for those of you that are eggheads that want to review this, I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. Google said that Shawnee, Kansas will be getting its fiber internet service. And here's a city that we're going to hear more about, because Kansas City already got it, right? So now Kansas City, Kansas got it. But now we're going to see Shawnee, Kansas get it. And they don't have an estimate when the new service is going to be available. They say it's going to be the next city. So this is cool. And Google says, we've been impressed by Shawnee's vision to keep their citizens informed and involved using internet. Recently, the city modernized their website so that locals can easily access city info, from crime maps to fiscal reports to streaming audio of city council meetings. So if you're looking for a nice place to move to, Shawnee, Kansas, automatically, the prices of their houses just went up. Hey, Google has added remote desktop to Google Hangouts. So it lets users simultaneously video chat and also troubleshoot. So if you're in a Google chat with let's say, mom, and she needs something looked at on her computer, you can remote access her computer and check at it and manipulate stuff on the desktop. At the same time, continuing to talk, and I think it's pretty slick. So obviously, they're going to be competing with some of the products that we have advertised on here before. But again, Google adds remote desktop to Hangouts. So if you're hanging out in Hangouts and you want to do some tech support, you can do that. Or it's a new tool to be able to utilize. Let's talk about Apple just a little bit. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've got a little Red Bull left here. Let me take a shot on that. Watered down Red Bull. The ice has melted. I frankly got a little upset. And you know, I know a lot of companies do this. I know a lot of companies take their money and put it offshore. But here we've got a company that many of us, me included, have bought a lot of gear from. Laptops, Apple TVs, iPhones, you name it. Again, Apple's not the only company guilty here. There's a lot of companies guilty. But Apple has avoided $9.2 billion in taxes with a debt deal. So what they've done is they've sold $9.2 billion in bonds. That's part, by financing part of their $55 billion stock buyback. They're buying it back with debt. So here's a company that's got $100 billion in cash. They got $100 billion in cash, but most of it is outside the United States. Now, if they brought that money in, they'd have to pay 35% tax, corporate tax on it to repatriate the money. So essentially what Google has done here is they have avoided about $9.2 billion in taxes. And since interest payments are tax deductible, that's another $100 million a year. So they basically, in 2012, Apple paid $6 billion in federal corporate income taxes, which is about one out of every $40 in their corporate income taxes. So basically, we are getting about, for every dollar they earn, they're paying about for every $40 that are spent, they only pay $1 basically of that is taxable. So even though Apple's one of the top corporate income taxpayers in the country, they still have all this money that they have filtered all outside the United States to keep from paying taxes. I don't think any company that's American-based should be able to get away with this crap. If you have money that's made in within a country, let's say that they have a division in the UK, and let's say they, you know, they do $1 billion worth of business in the UK, they should pay the UK government to, you know, whatever the taxes is in $1 billion is. But if they are in the United States and there's let's say 40 or 50 or 100 billion dollars in basically in revenue after their tax deductions, they should have to pay taxes on instead of, you know, filtering all this cash off the side. I don't know how much you guys feel, you know, so to avoid the taxes, they borrowed money in bonds. It's cheaper to borrow money and then get all these taxes out. I guess it's the way it works. You know, the rest of us, I guess, you know, small business owners, we're not smart enough to be able to, and basically we don't make enough to move money offshore. And I know some of the places that they have huge amounts of cash offshore, they have an office with a couple of people in it. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think, you know, does it bother you? Or is it just the American way? Is it the way, is it just the way it is? And should I just shut up and, you know, hope that my companies get so big that I can essentially launder money outside the United States like they do? And they're doing it legally. So a launder is a, you know, kind of a word that's stigmatized with something illegal happening. But for me, it's just incredible. Oh, the Ustream ads really blast your ears out with several times the volume. Yeah, that's why we don't use Ustream as a primary anymore. And what happened tonight, folks, is got to do the show, and I didn't put it on April embed, and I forgot that every time you update live stream to a new show, they give you a new embed. So I hadn't copied the new embed over to live.geekandcentral.com. So that's what happened for those of you on the live stream tonight. So apologize about that. Say, how's audio tonight? Is audio good? Is the audio rocking tonight? How's it sound? Does it sound good? Is it tinny? we have an issue. I worked on it quite a little bit. Love to hear you guys. As you guys are in the chat room, let me know. Electric car manufacturer COTA has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So Fisker isn't the only electric car manufacturer that failed to live up to expectations. So Bloomberg reports that COTA Holdings hopes to sell its assets to an affiliate of Fortress Investment Group for around $25 million. They've sold less than 100 units. So I hope you didn't buy a COTA, because COTA's done. They pow. They finished. They're gone. Hasta la vista. Another green vehicle down the drain. So, oh, good. Audio is good. Thanks, man. Thanks, everybody. Just pretty low. Yeah, that's a whole nother issue, but the tinniness is gone. That's the main thing. We'll work on the loudness next. We'll get the loudness up. I just want to make sure I could start cranking it up now, and maybe I'll do that before the show ends. I'll crank it up and see if it helps a little bit. Hey, if you've been buying stuff on the iTunes App Store, you want to watch the counter. At 50 billionth download, Apple's going to give away $10,000. So if you're the 50 billionth app buyer, congratulations, you get a $10,000 Apple gift certificate. This cracks me up. If you can't beat them, join them. Time Warner Cable CEO says it could copy Arrow's business model in the future. The television broadcasting industry has been up in arms, of course, over the small startup called Arrow. We've covered them heavily here. And basically, CBS is even they say, oh, we're ready. We can move off. We can stop. We can shut down broadcast in 2 days. We can take everything online. And you know, the thing is, CBS, you operate underneath the public trust. You are given the airways, and you had 100, whatever how many years run you've had, you work underneath the public trust. You are given a spectrum of broadcast spectrum to use. And CBS, you're going to say, we're going to pull the plug, and we're going to go completely digital. What about those people, CBS, that live in those areas where there's not good bandwidth, where it's the farmer in Kansas that is 50 miles from a town, and sure, he can get Dish, and he probably has it. But what if he can't afford Dish, and he still has an antenna? He can still get CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, right? So CBS is crying so hard. They're gonna leave the broadcast space if they don't get their way and Arrow isn't shut down. So Time Warner is now saying, we're going to make a change here. We're going to we're basically, our Time Warner says, we're going to build this same system. And that's would be another stab at the folks. All right, those of you that are, we're doing some experimentation while the show is live. I'm turning up the audio, you guys, those of you that are on the live stream. So let me know how the background noise sounds. So I've really just really hand jammed it up quite a little bit. Let me know if it sounds pretty good at this point, because it should have just really went up. Let me know if we got tinny. If it's still good, we'll leave it there. Next thing up is the president has basically introduced his new nomination to the FCC. His name is Tom Wheeler. This guy's got a pretty impressive career. He went to school with the president, and the president was very accommodating and told him that he was much smarter than he was. And but it's very interesting here. This guy is like this career lobbyist. He ran two lobby groups, CTIA and one other. So here we've got a guy that is a lobbyist for groups like AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, Time Warner. Verizon was praising that this was the guy that, oh my goodness, thank goodness we have this guy coming in. AT&T person, I've known Tom Wheeler for many years, and he is inspired pick to lead the FCC. These guys are dancing the jig because they got their boy in here. And he's going to come down and he's going to set policy. He's a longtime Washington, D.C. insider. Wheeler spent the better part of his career lobbying for big business. Starting at the Grocery Manufacturers Association, Wheeler became the president of the National Cable Television Association, fighting for legislation on behalf of cable companies in the industry's formative 1980s. After briefly leaving to start a couple of companies focused on broadband and cellular, experiences would clearly inform him as a role as an FCC chairman. Wheeler was once again pulled into the Beltway, becoming the head of the Wireless Association, CTIA, for over a decade. As the American wireless industry's main lobbying group, it supports limiting the reach of net neutrality policy on wireless networks and generally prefers the FCC that has a hands-off approach of an industry that's had its fair share of anti-competitive concerns for over the past 30 years. He's rich. He's old. So we'll see. This guy's a lame duck, obviously coming in the second half of the president's, time in office. So we'll see where this is going to go with him. But we'll see. And didn't the president say he wasn't going to have lobbyists or something like that in his administration? I guess that's not the case anymore. Whatever the rules were, I don't think they followed any of those rules to begin with. None of these politicians do, right? No matter what your politics are, if you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, whatever it is, all these politicians lie. You know, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. You know, you guys have listened to me long enough. You'll know. I think when they arrive at Congress, the respective party takes the new freshman senator, freshman Republican, and they basically take him into a soundproof room in the back, and they're like, "Listen, you know that stuff you said during the election? Zip. You have to shut your mouth. You're gonna play ball. You want to get stuff done. You have to play our way." And you will toe the line, and you won't be outspoken, and you're not going to do that stuff. That's why nothing gets done. All the old timers there, all of them, thick as thieves. I'll stop talking politics. Hey, when a defense contractor gets hacked repeatedly, you would think that the DOD or DON or whoever's in charge of this company contract would basically say, "Hey, no more contracts for you." From 2000 to 2010, spies from China, according to the folks over at GigaOM, this company lost terabytes of reported sensitive data, including more than 10,000 passwords, chip architecture for military robots, and weapon information, according to an article from Bloomberg on Thursday. The hackers accessed confidential data across multiple facilities from laptops and servers alike. To avoid being observed on a company network, in one sense, the hackers siphoned out data in small quantities. Despite these known hacks, the federal government awarded a cybersecurity contract. They awarded this company a cybersecurity contract. Oh my gosh. Who's the idiot? Please, who's the idiot that awards a company that's been hacked repeatedly from 2007 to 2010? Who's the idiot that awards this company a federal contract for a cybersecurity contract? Who is it? Oh, it just blows my mind, the stuff that happens. They're a prominent defense contractor. I've never heard of them. Quinty Q. Q-I-N-E-T-I.Q. It almost sounds Chinese to begin with. And again, that's my opinion. I have no idea, but oh my gosh. You know, to the average person, you'd be like, no. You need to have a timeout in the penalty box. You need to turn in anything that you have that is of a classified nature. You need to read your people out. You need about a 5-year break. Instead, no, we're going to give you another contract. Oh my gosh. I'm just completely shocked to the core. I really am. Oh man. Okay, moving on here. Please email me, geeknews@gmail.com, if you don't think that's the most ridiculous thing you haven't heard all week. And more happy news, Gmail Tweak lets you schedule calendar events with just a click. So, I'm always basically scheduling meetings with Gmail, and this is pretty slick. You just right-click it, and boom, it goes right to your calendar. So the update is rolling out to U.S. English users over the next week. The expanded language support is on its way. So this is a nice little, basically not a fix, but a nice little feature add. There's a video, and fellas, this is only for the single guys. So when you get a new phone, there's this parody video that's been done by College Humor that says, why new phones are just like new girlfriends. So you can just watch the video. The married guys, just skip this one. You're not going to get it. If you hearken back to your single days, you might. But a nice little humorous video on how people are when they get their new cell phone. Microsoft is attempting to woo Android users with a Switch to Windows phone app. For a week now, rumors have been rampant about Microsoft would release a Switch to Windows iPhone app to Android users. That day has arrived, and the app is in the Google Play Store. So this is an article that was written up by Alan, one of our writers here at Geek News Central. And Alan put this piece together, and it shows you all the apps that you have on your Android device that's also available via the Windows phone store. So it basically also says, hey, we're going to save those app lists in the cloud, so when you make the switch, we'll know which ones to automatically download. So a nice little marketing technique by the folks at Microsoft. Another great article written by KL over here at Geek News Central, and this is one really that we should spend some time talking about. And we did a little bit, I think, on the last show, but EFF's annual report on which company is protecting your information from the government. And KL spent a considerable amount of time on this. So, you know, in the United States, we are supposed to have certain rights under the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And basically, that Fourth Amendment reads in part, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, house, papers, and effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. As we live in a digital world today, most of us don't write letters, and our papers and effects are online. They're on the social media sites we're members of and websites we visit. So if the FBI comes knocking at your door, your ISP's door, your favorite search company, your favorite search social media sites, and they request that they hand over your information to them, will the company simply hand over your information, or do they request a warrant? In other words, which company has your back and which companies don't? So the EFF list is pretty good. They took a look at 18 tech companies, and they looked into the terms of service, privacy policy, advocacy, and courtroom track records to see how they stacked up. They looked at the following six criteria: requires a warrant for content, tells users about government data requests, publishes transparency reports, publishes law enforcement guidelines, fights for users' privacy in courts, fights for users' privacy in Congress. Out of the 18 companies investigated, only two received all six stars, Twitter and Sonic.net. Two companies, MySpace and Verizon, received zero stars, and a full chart's available via the AFF website. So definitely check that out. So who has your back? Not Verizon. That's for sure. All right, the original Angry Birds comes to Windows Phone. It's free to May 15th. So if you love Angry Birds. I haven't played Angry Birds in 6 months. It's available for Windows Phone, so definitely check it out. I want to thank Alan again for his contribution at GNC. Tom Wiles, Trucker Tom Podcast, did a fantastic article. And it's probably one of the longest we've had on Geekness Central in a number of years. It talks about remote presence. And Tom goes into graphic detail on how to set up a variety of different things. And he goes into remote IP surveillance cameras. So, and this one's pretty a nice one. It's one you can get for $60 on Amazon. And he goes through how he has two of those in his house and how he sets it up to basically be able to see it, move it, and access it from the road. And of course, again, Trucker Tom is a truck driver, so he spends time away. So when he wants to see what's happening in his personal property, he basically fires up the cameras via IP. And this is a great article Tom did. I mean, this is extensive with lots of instructions, details. I encourage you to check out this article. And these $60 cameras are pretty remarkable from a cost perspective. So thanks, Trucker Tom, for that. There's many reasons why you might be asked to click like on a Facebook page. You usually cannot access a coupon that a company offers until you like their page. Bands will often ask their fans to click to like a show. But according to Jen, she says things got a little fishy when a healthcare provider ask you to basically do things on Facebook in order to be given a free second opinion. And she said, I'm not talking about those posts that get shared that tell the story of a child who needs surgery and who can't get it after the post receives enough likes. I think most of us know in reality that there isn't a surgeon frantically refreshing his or her Facebook page. That being said, the New York Times SL reports an odd story where Facebook and healthcare have collided. The Temptation Institute of Neurology has a Facebook page. They're offering a free second opinion if you do the following things. Like their main Facebook page, like their post, share their post, comment on their post, like their video, or share the video. Here's why. Your likes are so critical is that because this is one-of-a-kind program in the world. Depends on its funding and success on advanced name recognition of this free service measured by our Facebook likes. I'm sure this is really effective, but apparently New York Times SLO turns out that people are really still paying to $2,500 to get an initial consult and $600 per hour for their follow-up. So they're just doing nothing more than trying to get people to scam to get their likes in and basically drive people to their website through a little social engineering. You know, if I lived in New York City, I would be upset. There was a temporary restraining order blocking Uber and others from New York City operations. This is should not come as a surprise to no one, because we know that New York City's livery car groups have successfully won a bid, basically for a temporary restraining order, against New York City's smartphone-based Hail Pilot program. This basically shuts down any limited plans for Uber Taxi and others had for getting back in business in NYC. Both Uber and Halio are being stopped from operations. And, it's almost like mob tactics, in my opinion, what happens in New York. And these cab and livery drivers and these stuff, it gets pretty ridiculous because they have an industry that's being impacted right now by technology and they just can't move fast enough. It's all about the dollars, folks. All right, YouTube Capture for iOS updated with additional Wi-Fi only uploads. So if you are using YouTube Capture, that app has been updated. Go ahead and grab it. And from the App Store, if you're on Netflix, Warner Brothers, MGM, Universal have collectively pulled nearly 2,000 films from Netflix to further fragment the online new movie market. So, I tell you, they're doing just putting the screws to Netflix. And so, you know, the way I look at it is I'm just not going to get any MGM, Universal, or Warner Brothers movies. Of course, that's all of them, right? You know, this is just designed to make people upset. Warner wants films for its own archives. You know, I'm not going to go join their service. You know, I'm really not. If I can't get it, I just probably won't rent it. You know, I want to find stuff. When I go on a service, I want to find it. I don't want to have to go sign up for 5 different companies. It's not going to work. They've already let the cat out of the bag. They just need to do the deal and put the stuff back online. Ah. They're in trouble. They know it. They know they're in trouble. Movies are great. They cost a lot of money to do. But put them online so we can get access to them. Who's went to a movie recently? You know, let's watch it from home on a big screen. Another company has learned the power of basically trying to sue people. And here's my advice, too. There's a company. There's an Illinois bus company called Suburban Express. If you've got kids that are going to college and are riding Suburban Express to several colleges, I would advise you not to use this service. And if you do, make sure you read the fine print. Make sure you arrive on time, exactly at the place you're supposed to. Not a day late, not a day early, not an hour early, not an hour late, right at a specific time, or you're going to get, your credit card's going to get whacked. And when you complain about it, they're going to come after you online. So, bus company is been a meanie and threatening some folks on Reddit and a guy that posted a piece on Facebook. Obviously, what's going to happen now is the company said, oh, we're sorry. We didn't know that how the Reddit community was. TV syndication company attempts to take down public domain content by abusing trademark law. What else is new? The FF had to step in. I'm not even going to go into the details. This is just another thing, as another day that's continued going on. And again, I told you earlier, CBS says that they are going to pull the plug in New York if they lose the battle. All right, this one here is kind of funny. Would you like a drone shield? You know, don't drone me, bro. Over in Ars Technica, meet drone shield. An ambitious idea for $70 drone detection system. So an aerospace engineer wants a scan for audio signatures of flying robots. And they, this mate's going to talk about $100 in 2 months to figure out. And I don't know if they're going to do a Kickstarter or not. But I think it's going to cost $67 to make them once they're done. He's raised some money. And he's on an Indiegogo. He's doing an Indiegogo campaign. So if you want to contribute to a drone detector, hey, someone needs to send this link over to Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak over at No Agenda. They definitely need to be on this Kickstarter. Absolutely. Adam, I hope you get the word. I'll probably email, if you haven't, you probably have already found this anyway. Your audience is pretty Akamai. All right, the Asus Cube with Google TV is available, $139. So if you're looking for a Google TV option, there's one for you. NASA is going to be paying the Russians $424 million to ferry 6 astronauts to the International Space Station. Let's do a little math here. So if we think about this, $424 million, and let me put the right zeros on this, 000. That's enough. And we're going to divide that by 6. And then let's see, how much does an average astronaut weigh? Let's say 180 pounds. So what it's going to cost is, you thought stuff was expensive. It's going to cost NASA $392,592 a pound on an average weight of 180 pounds to send an astronaut to the International Space Station. Wow. $392,592 a pound, or let's multiply that by 180, or $70,666,666 to send each astronaut. You know, how much does it cost to build a rocket? You know, let's be real here. Is it that expensive? I guess that didn't get under sequestration cuts. Holy cow. Hey, researchers have created an RFID-enabled paper, bringing us closer to traceable cash. Really, you know, that's what we really need. Just think about that for a few minutes. Come on, page load and press. Okay. So imagine, you know, you get handed a 20 and you go to the store and you buy a pack of cigarettes and it's scanned. And every time that money moves, it's scanned and somehow, yeah, and you use your rewards card, of course, to get a discount. So, you know, how long is it going to be before every time we do a cash transaction that Uncle Sam gets a little beep, beep, a little logging of the data? So, you know, I think this is a very, very slippery slope. And paper equipped with RFID tags, it makes me a little bit nervous, especially if it's going to be in our cash. It just sounds so invasive. I know the government would love it because that way they could track everything at that point. So what you think? RFID tags in your cash? Every dollar and every 20 and every 50 and every 100 you spend is tracked? I think that would be a little weird. All right, Apple has hijacked OS X development team to keep iOS on track. If reports are accurate, OS X 10.9 probably won't ship until late October, early November, just so that iOS can be held on track. So this is kind of interesting. If accurate, this would be a move that would be a repeat of 2007, when Apple pushed back the launch of OS X 10.5, aka Leopard, from June to October. Just not enough people on the dev team. You know, use some of that $100 billion to hire a few more developers, Apple. And finally, Blockbuster. Yeah, the company that still has some stores in the country, Blockbuster has rolled out an iOS app. The former movie rental giant, which was acquired by Dish in 2011, brings its on-demand movie rental service to iOS. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Okay, let me go ahead and see what I've got here in the email stack. Actually, I think there was something that came in on the hotline. What are we doing for time? I think we're okay. Oops, I didn't want to open that. That was dumb. Wrong button. Let me push this one. And let me go over. We may have just, you know, what I've been getting lately on the hotline is people trying to sell me stuff and PR people that for some reason got that number. But I think I saw something come in, and maybe is there something new in there? Oh, there is. Let me download this. 300 seconds. That could be a listener. And let me save the file and we'll download. Let me open this one. Let's see if we have I need to plug this in. Hang on. Sorry about that. And let's see what we've got here.
Hi, Todd. This is Todd Copper. Would you like to earn $1 million over the course of 99 years? Learn my business secret. Just kidding. Hang on. Don't cut me off. This is Tim from Southern California. I know you hate those terrible little ads, so I thought I'd just mess with you just a little bit. Anyways, I haven't called into the voice line since 2009.
Wow.
While I was on my way to Disneyland one day. That was back when I was still in the Marines. But I thought it'd be fun to call back again, especially since you don't get much traffic on the voice line, just over random things that I haven't had time to email. You're talking about Ingress a lot. Unfortunately, I'm pretty much devoted to Apple. If they can somehow find it in their hearts to get us an iOS app, I would totally be playing this game. It's very geeky, and it's just something exactly what I'm looking for, something fun like that. You know, with this whole little, almost like Harry Potter conspiracy thing going on all around us, and nobody knows about it except the Ingress players. But unless they get some kind of web mobile app, or I can get it on a jailbroken iPhone, which I have, then I would totally be playing this game. And maybe not much help to you in Hawaii, but certainly be playing it out here. Anyways, that was one of three things I want to talk about. The other thing I want to talk about was a recent experience I had with Android. I traded my phone. I woke up one day and I sent a Craigslist ad, and I traded my iPhone 5 for a Galaxy Note 2, and I was not very happy about the whole experience. For a number of reasons, but mostly it centered around the apps. The apps were really buggy. There just wasn't all the apps that I had on my iPhone. I know the Android store is catching up, but it's taken way too long for them to catch up and to make some quality apps. A lot of the apps that I had that I could still use, they hadn't been updated in a while compared to the iPhone 5 apps. And especially the podcasting apps. I know there's a few decent ones. I even paid for, I think I paid $5 for one or somewhere around there. And it still would freeze, and it would, when I hit play, it wouldn't play and have all these, problems and errors. And if I was paying $5 for an app on the Apple iPhone, you could bet it would probably be pretty much top quality. So, I wasn't really happy with that whole experience. And as a additional, cherry on top of the cupcake here, I also got billed $500 in 24 hours. Because the AT&T guy who switched our phones for me and the other gentleman, he sent me as pay-as-you-go. And I know pay-as-you-go for data. So I get a message while I'm in class one day. Hey, you got billed or you spent $250 on data, And I get an hour later, because I couldn't get out of class, you spent $500 on data. We've shut your data off. And luckily, I got a great, it's a miracle, but I got a great representative over the phone who helped me set it back to unlimited, which I didn't think they were going to do, because I know AT&T is doing everything they can to get us off unlimited. Anyways, I'm just kind of rambling at this point, but just a couple other things. Also, I wanted to say I really miss the Apple experience. I was kind of getting bored with my iPhone at that point, but when I came back to the iPhone, I traded my Galaxy Note 2 for an iPhone 5 again. I was kissing the thing. I was really like, wow, this is a great experience. I can't believe I left it. And it really showed me, what I had. I was taking for granted all the things Apple did, like iTunes Match and syncing everything. And it also showed me how much I already invested in my Apple products and my Apple apps and the accessory for my iPhone. And, So maybe I'll buy a Nexus in the near future and play some Ingress, but I really want to play the game. But maybe you can get buddy buddy with the developers and tell them to make an iPhone app or something. I don't know. You're well connected, aren't you? But anyways, also you must be their best player.
No.
Anyways, also last the cut to end it. I also want to talk about SimCity and EA. I'm a big time SimCity fan. Very big on SimCity. But I've made a commitment. I'm not going to buy SimCity until they start listening to their fans. And by listening to their fans, the fans are screaming, make bigger maps and have an offline mode so I can, take my laptop with me somewhere and not have an internet connection and still be able to play the game. But, they won't listen, and they just basically ignore us. And there's been a couple times where I've even put it in my basket on Amazon, and I was ready.
Oh, what happened? Okay. Did he get cut off? All right, let me check that.
Hi, Todd. This is Todd Copper. Would you have an offline mode so I can, take my laptop with me somewhere and not have an internet connection and still be able to play the game. But, you know, they won't listen, and they just basically ignore us. And there's been a couple times where I nearly...
Yeah, he got cut off. So let me go ahead and I think he called back. Here's the last part of his call.
Hey, Todd, this is message 202. I didn't realize there was a limit, but I'll just keep it very extremely short. Just letting you know that I just got cut off at the end. For good reason, you got to fire me on that. Any case, that's all I really had to say. Just letting you know that the end of it was, you know, I don't want to buy EA games anymore because, you know, they totally lost my confidence in creating any kind of great games. Anyways, I hope you keep up the great work. You've always been an inspiration for me to be in podcasting and to start that route. And I hope you keep producing great content and keep the dedication. And I'll always be a loyal fan from here in Southern California. So have a good day. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks so much. That's that was fantastic for you calling in. And I understand your EA concern. A lot of people are basically saying the same thing. And let me talk just a little bit about the Ingress deal. I've been playing on my Nexus 7 mostly. It's just easier with the bigger screen. And I'm tethering it to my iPhone and sometimes my MiFi. That's really kind of the way I'm playing right now. It's just easier with the bigger screen, especially in the daylight. When you're out and the sun's shining in your face and you're trying to read the contrast on the screen. So if you go with that Nexus 7, that's something to think about. All right, there was another call that came in. We'll see if this one is the real deal or if this is someone's trying to sell me something. Let's see here.
Hey, Todd. Andrew Darlow here.
Oh,
your long-lost photographer friend
yeah.
from the Northeast. I thought I'd call in for a few reasons. First, Tom Wiles' recent article and the tutorial he did on geeknewscentral.com about smart thermostats and IP cameras are just fantastic.
I agree.
I have some Foscam brand cameras, and I think his tutorial is going to be perfect for those as well. And based on the quality I see from those, I think some of those cameras are now good enough even for video podcasters for like an overview camera,
yep.
you know, to get the whole studio. So it's just something for people to think about. They're under, I think, $60 to $80 usually.
Yeah.
In photo news, Canon just released the Rebel T5i or 700D, which is called in other places. And based on what I'm seeing, there's only a few minor upgrades from the Rebel T4i, which is the 650D. And I have that camera, and I've owned a lot of different cameras and used even the best of the best. I have to say, this is an outstanding camera. I have it with the 18-135 STM lens, and the reason I got this camera is because that body with that lens is just incredible. It's almost silent, and it acts more like a video camera because it can adjust focus automatically like a high-end
oh.
video camera. And it also has the ability to use touch focus like an iPhone. It's just amazing. So I'll send you a link about the new camera, and maybe I'll do a longer review at another time. Also, I've been helping my dad publish a new children's song book and Kindle book, and that's been an amazing experience. It took a lot of time, but I'm very happy, and I think a lot of kids are going to like it. So I thought I'd just mention, for those who have kids about 2 to 7 years old, that the Kindle book is free until this Friday, May 3rd, and they can find it at iwonderdoyou.com. That's all I have for now. So aloha to you and yours, and keep up the great work. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for sending that. Of course, Andrew's out in Jersey, and we haven't heard from Andrew in a while. Thanks for that. And when you do that article, send that link over, and we'll definitely put it up in the show notes. Thanks for utilizing the hotline. We know it still works, and I had seen the emails come in saying that there was new postings in there, and glad I remembered to play those during the show. All right, let me go ahead and real quick get through the email here. Got an email from Tim. Tim says, hey, thought this was pretty neat. The world's first website, which had previously been offline, it's back. So he's got the link up. It's from CERN at info.cern.ch. I'll have the link up. And I got an email from Max. He says, hey, Todd, longtime listener. I'm constantly amazed at some of the cool stuff that gets revealed every so often on your show. Two things identified with. One, I've used BeyondPod since I became an Android-centric some time ago. Two, I too have a small infatuation with pens, especially fountain pens. Your geek bro, Max, in New York. Thanks for sending it out, Max. I definitely appreciate it. And I think we had one other person send me an email. Basically said, hey, the numbers, what's going on with the numbers? Yes, the numbers are now back in sequence. It shouldn't be an issue. And we're good. It's just a little hump in the road we had. Your geek here could not count. All right, we went long. Obviously got the great voicemail. It was worth it, though, yeah? And those of you hanging out to the end, we're going to start giving away some stuff. I did this huge office clean, and I've got 3 tubs of just, like, swag. It's not just swag. It's cool gear that I opened, reviewed, put back in a box, and basically didn't have to send it anywhere. So we're going to start giving it away, but we're going to give it away in periodic points in the show. So you have to listen to the show to win. As always, we're not going to do it tonight. We're going to give you a heads up. We're going to start next show. But we're just going to, and I'm just going to grab something out of one of the boxes, and we're just going to throw it out. And that way I can empty some tubs and get rid of some stuff. And there's some cool stuff here. Good value. You know, I told my wife she'd have a yard sale, and she says, well, that's not really fair. Just give the stuff away. And I said, yeah, you're right. So we'll do that. And I told her, as long as you ship it, because I never make it to the post office, please do. Hey, folks, this is a wrap for the show. Definitely, we want to thank our sponsors here. So if you get a chance, go over to GoDaddy.com. Visit GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy for all my promo codes. We want to thank the folks at Citrix GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing. So definitely get that free trial using the promo code podcast. And don't forget, if you're looking to save some money, if you want to build a studio just like this one, and you want to have some nice gear, visit www.mmcom.com/livestream, and they can help you out. And did you guys notice where the orange shirt got the orange background? It's not doesn't look like it's flickering too bad. We need multicolor Ohanosaurus is what we need. But anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for staying subscribed. Tell your friends, family members, people that you know about the show. And we appreciate all of your longtime support. Hey, folks, we'll see you next time. Till then, take care and aloha.